Your general preparations for the closing should begin immediately upon acceptance of your offer. By getting a jump on preparations, you help ensure that your financing, if any, is approved in advance of the closing date and that the lawyer or title company has enough time to complete pre-closing tasks. To properly handle the closing, you need to be familiar with the documents that guide the closing process and know which tasks need to be performed prior to the closing itself. Here are the documents that guide the closing process. The loan commitment or agreement. The sales contract. The title insurance commitment, and the closing statement. While the title company or attorney handling the closing will calculate all the costs and credits in advance of the closing, it's still important for you to understand the provisions of each document. This is advisable only if to check the accuracy of the calculations. In approximately 25% of the closings I'm involved with, I find errors on the closing statement. First, let me talk about the loan commitment or agreement. This is the first document that we talked about that guides the closing process. Unless you're paying all cash out of pocket, you will have some documents relating to the financing. In most cases, the financing you obtain will fall into one or more of the following categories: either assuming an existing mortgage on the property, originating a new mortgage, or originating a loan through some other source, for example, partners or family, including the seller, or equity loans or credit card advances. Regardless of the type of financing you obtain, you must make certain that you understand the terms of your loan and the conditions required by your lender or mortgagee. The terms and conditions should be laid out in the commitment letter or loan agreement. The terms of the commitment or agreement disclose such things as your loan amount, the interest rate, payment terms, upfront fees, and prepayment penalties, if any. This information allows you to estimate what funds, if any, you will need to bring to the closing and to assess the overall feasibility of the transaction. The conditions of the commitment or agreement advise you of what you must do in order to obtain loan funding. Examples: paying off existing debts, providing funds for closing, obtaining an appraisal, securing insurance, and clearing title. Now, many times, loan agreements or commitments are made to a buyer in advance of finding a property. For example, based on your credit, your income, and the outstanding debts you have, a lender may commit in writing that they'll loan you up to $100,000. This saves a lot of time once you find a property that you want to purchase, and it's a powerful negotiating tool as well. Because when a seller knows that you're pre-approved, they frequently will be more negotiable. Conditions of the loan commitment obviously cannot be addressed until you agree to purchase a specific property. You should always review the terms of the loan to make certain that you understand what the loan is going to cost you, both up front and throughout the life of the loan. Even if your loan agreement is an informal one, such as with a family member, it's a good idea to have a promissory note that will include the important terms, for example, the loan amount, interest rate, and the term. You should also make certain to clear all conditions, or stipulations as they're sometimes known as, prior to the closing. Some conditions might not be within your control, but you should follow up with the person responsible for each condition to ensure that it has been cleared. For example, if the seller's attorney is required to clear the title, you should check with him prior to closing to confirm that there were no problems. If the bank is going to order an appraisal, make sure that this is done in a timely fashion. The single biggest reason for closings not taking place on time is because of foul-ups on the part of the lender. The real estate contract is a written document that outlines the terms of the transaction that you're making with the other party. It contains many items that are time-sensitive and require action prior to a specific date. Failure to act on one or more of the provisions can greatly affect your rights under the contract. Aside from performance dates, that is a date that something has to be completed by, a contract typically contains time-sensitive contingencies like a finance contingency, additional earnest money deposits, termite inspection, lead paint inspection, home inspection, rent rolls and lease review, survey review, owner's tax return review, unit inspection, current expense item review, a review of receipts for expenses, and the closing itself. Now, when you draw up the contract, you should put each performance and contingency date on your calendar and make certain that you take the appropriate action in a timely manner. In addition to fulfilling the date requirements of your contract, you might need to make amendments to the contract after the initial signing. To avoid misunderstandings at closing, both the seller and the buyer should sign any changes agreed to after the initial signing. For example, Amendments might include extended finance contingency dates, changed closing dates, added owner signatures, and purchase price changes. The contract will also provide for documents that will be exchanged at or prior to the closing. Documents that you might need to follow up on or have prepared include the following: a title insurance commitment, association letter if it's a condominium, insurance, notes, mortgages, bills of sale, deed, closing statement, and transfer declarations. The title insurance commitment is a report from a title company that discloses a property's owners of record, liens recorded against the property, real estate taxes that are due and paid, and all the documents required to ensure that clear title is being conveyed. Additional documents a title company might require include deeds, completed transfer forms, lien waivers, payoffs, releases, water bills, proof of identification of the buyer and seller. A careful reading of the title report by the title company or closing attorney will identify the items needed, if any, to clear title before closing. All of this sounds very complicated, but don't worry about it. I just want you to be familiar with all the things that have to be done and are probably being done by the lawyer or title company that's handling the closing. In addition to a search of the property records, title companies also search court records to determine if the seller or buyer has any outstanding judgments against them. If a judgment is discovered against someone with a name identical to the buyer or seller, it might require the affected party to demonstrate that he or she is who they say they are. In many cases, a seller or the seller's attorney will order the title and prepare and obtain the documents needed to clear the title. But you should be capable of reading and understanding the title report. It's not difficult. In particular, you should learn to recognize potential title issues such as sole certificates, for taxes I'm talking about, pending bankruptcy cases or code violation cases, any or all of which might indicate that the seller will have difficulty clearing title. At the closing, you should also confirm that the legal description on the title insurance commitment, the deed, and the survey are all identical. This way you can guard against receiving title of the wrong property. And believe me, it's happened. By following up to make certain that the title issues will be cleared, you can avoid closing day disappointments. The closing statement lists the closing costs for all parties involved in the transaction. And to ensure that there are no unpleasant surprises, you should at least approximate costs before making the offer. Whether you close the transaction at an attorney's office, a title company, or other closing agency, they will provide you with a HUD-RESPA settlement statement. Accordingly, in any transaction requiring a HUD-RESPA statement, you should make certain that the details of the transaction are accurately presented. If you're uncertain about any issue, don't hesitate to ask or seek legal advice. As I mentioned before, it can help a great deal to follow the predefined checklist when preparing for a closing. You can use the closing documents I described previously to provide you with such checklist. This statement is required by the federal government and discloses the fees, costs, and charges associated with the transaction. If your manual is handy, turn to the example HUD-RESPA settlement statement in the chapter Closing the Transaction and read about all of the individual entries. If it's not available now, then turn to it at your earliest convenience. Failure to disclose fees, charges, and credits on this statement can constitute a violation of federal law. To help make sure your preparations are complete, however, I include in the No Down Payment Manual 3 supplemental checklists, which cover things to do immediately once your offer is accepted, things to do 1 week before closing, and things to do the day before closing. And these checklists are going to guide you through the pre-closing time period, and you can refer to them as needed. As soon as your offer is accepted, you should start taking care of the details regarding financing and the real estate contract. For example, with respect to financing, if it's existing financing, obtain permission to assume the mortgage. If it's new financing, apply to at least 2 lenders. A lender that has access to many different mortgage programs is available at my website, carltonsheets.com. For other sources, for example, partners, family members, equity loans, and credit card advances, begin to pursue your leads. With respect to the contract itself, insert the full legal description of the property into the contract. Review the contract for performance dates. List all of the contingencies that must be met and the tasks that must be performed with their completion deadlines. And there are a number of things that you will be responsible for as a buyer, but we went over those earlier in this audio chapter. What you will want to do, though, is to make sure that all owners of record, that is, all the owners listed on the deed recorded in the county courthouse, have signed the contract. Make copies of the contract to distribute to all interested parties, for example, the seller, the broker, the lawyer, the title company. The lawyer or title company who will be closing the transaction will take care of a number of the items that we've already discussed in this audio chapter. In the week leading up to the closing date, you should attend to details regarding insurance, the title insurance policy, taxes, utilities, and renters if it's a rental property. For example, you need to order insurance for the property. Review the title insurance commitment to make sure that there are no problems. Obtain and review the closing statement at least a couple of days before the closing. Notify utilities like cable TV and other service vendors of change in ownership. For rental properties, prepare a letter to tenants announcing the change in ownership. And by the way, these letters shouldn't be mailed until after the closing. Mail them immediately afterwards. Run a newspaper ad for tenants if vacancies exist. On the day before the closing, you should inspect the property and obtain the money you'll need at the closing. Thoroughly check the property, for example, appliances, air conditioning, furnace, and plumbing, even if you had a home inspection done earlier, and then obtain a certified check for the funds required at closing. This will probably be made payable to the closing agent's escrow account and might even be delivered directly to that closing agent.